And now it's time for Crocheting with Ron. Wait, that can't be right. Now it's time for Okay. Now it's time for Crotchety Old Ron. That makes much more sense. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
What are you doing here?
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Come on. I'm not... It is. Thank you so much for being here. It's my pleasure to entertain you on a daily basis. I just lied. I'm sorry. I hope you're having a nice life. I mean, what's the point otherwise? All right. That's enough. Jason. Hey, what you doing over there? Hey, what's happening with you? Jason. Jason Shaw. Does the music on this program, the incidental music, incidentally, and the themes and all that stuff. John Shanahan does the announcing and does many of the comedy bits here on the program. Oh, yeah. And Nicole Reed books many of the national interviews that we do, and she's the British voice that you hear at the beginning of the program. Those are just some of the people that make this show possible. Believe me, I have nothing to do with it. And of course, we all know that's Jenny McCobb on the piccolo. Give it up for Jenny. I don't know if you can hear the piccolo in the background. It's very, very subtle, but it's there and it makes for the song. Piccolo? What the hell is that? That's an instrument? Piccolo? Who named that thing? Hey, what do you play? The piccolo. What? Are you making this up? What is that? It's a tiny little thing. You can't even see it unless you have really close-up glasses. And you play it, and it's a high-pitched flute. It's annoying as hell. Piccolo my ass, huh? Right? Yeah, I'm a real macho guy. Piccolo my ass. Oh, whoa, okay, wow. You are a cursing kind of orchestra person, aren't you? Piccolo my ass, baby. Oh, whoa. I ain't messing with you. Welcome to the program. I'll be here for about half an hour and then not. This is like a community service that you're doing here. It's like you've been convicted of something and this is what you have to do to pay the fine. You know what I'm saying? All right. what day of the week is this? Quick. I don't know either. I have no concept whatsoever. Oh, Lord, huh? Do you go to church? A lot of people aren't going to church these days, I've read in the Bible. A lot of people aren't going to church anymore. It's not that they're not religious necessarily. It's just I don't have time. I'm so busy with the 17 jobs that I'm quitting that I don't have time. I have to prepare the meal for the kids every morning, and I have to inflate my tires sometimes. Every once in a while, I have to get my hair cut, so I don't have time to go to church. Religion should be, you know, religion shouldn't, oh, Ron, don't talk about religion. Don't go there. Didn't they teach you that? Don't do talk shows about religion. Well, wait a minute now. Just wait a second. Hold your horses and your cows. Religion is supposed to be a personal thing between you and whatever deity you happen to have been set up with. So that's personal, man. And for you to go out in public with a group of other people and go through that same exercise that you can do basically in your living room by yourself, you know, spiritually, I like the one-to-one connection. I think if you're going to talk spiritually, I think you need to have that one-to-one thing. I don't think it's a group effort. I really don't. You know, when horrible things happen, you know, we all pray in unison. We do a group prayer. It's really not as effective as your one-to-one connection should you be on that route. Do you understand what I'm saying? We tend to take... All right, now I'm getting off the religion thing. That was an introduction. We tend to live in groups, which can be very, very dangerous. Now, I'm not saying that you should be solitary and not speak to anybody and don't join any groups and don't participate in anybody's folly. I'm not saying that really. I might be, but I'm not. It's just that you can't identify yourself based on a group. I find groupiness to be sometimes more damaging than it is comforting. Because when we're with a group, all we are doing is comforting ourselves. We're trying to feel more at home with ourselves. It's why people who love Trump watch Fox News, and people who hate Trump don't. You choose your comfort zone, and you exist within it. That's perfectly natural. We're human beings. I don't really know why, but we are. We could have been dogs. We could have been insects. But we're doing the human thing this time around. And that's pretty cool. But I always say, man, you got to find this inner self. Your body talks to you. If you listen very carefully, listen, you want to hear my body? Listen very carefully.
Hi, Warren. Hi. I have a pain in my shoulder because you keep overextending your shoulder. Stop it now.
That's my body talking to me.
Hey, Ron, lose some weight, you fat pig.
That was my body talking to me. Seriously, it really does. It tells you things. And if you don't find peace with yourself, you can't possibly find it with a group. You can't live through other people. I know, look, if you have children, you live through your children for a while. You give up your own life for your kids. And I think that's just part of the chain of reproduction. I get that. But then there are some people where that's it. All they live is for their children. All they talk about is their children. Well, Mike picked up a rubber ball today and threw it about 17 feet. Oh, and who should care about this? Only you. People who incessantly talk about their kids don't have much to say about themselves. It's true. It's true. You shouldn't live through other people. You shouldn't. If you have idols that you look up to, they are not you. You don't live through them. You live through yourself. And sometimes you have to reassess your situation every once in a while and say, you know what? I'm learning about myself and I feel more comfortable now because of that. Now, let me give you an example. I am older than 20 years old. I know it's amazing. I sound so young and impressionable. But I am older than 20. Damn it, I'm older than 30. Damn it, I'm older than 40. And we can continue, but I'm not going to, because it doesn't matter at that point. But the older I get, the more familiar I become with myself. I know exactly what things I don't like. I know exactly. And people say, Ron, why don't you try this? Okay, I'm interested. And how about this? No, I don't do that. I wouldn't be interested. I know myself. I would not be interested in that. And I don't want to do that. Unless it's required, which it isn't, I don't want to do it. Because I know myself. I've been with myself for decades now. We've coexisted in the same body. And I've started to know myself. And those little kids running around in their teenage years and their young adults saying, I'm just trying to find myself. I get it. I used to mock them by saying, what is there to find? What is there to find in yourself? Just shut up. Then I realized as I got older, I didn't find myself till I was older. Because then I really knew myself. I love this, and therefore I'm going to do more of it. I don't like that, therefore I'm not going to do that anymore. And once you come to those resolves, you become very comfortable with yourself. And thus, you become comfortable with other people. I used to not tolerate other people. Now I just don't even deal with them. It's so much more comfortable. Why did I put myself through that toleration thing? And another thing, those of you that go to therapy all the time, okay, good. You got some things, you want to resolve them, fine. But your therapist ain't going to resolve the stuff for you. You got to resolve it within yourself. Therapists might help point you in the right frame of mind to resolve it yourself, but only you can resolve it. Are you following me at all? Hey, put that sandwich down and stop knitting and crocheting. Are you listening to me? I'm saying some pretty heavy stuff here. Ron, isn't this supposed to be a comedy show? Oh, see, I can't tolerate you. I cannot tolerate you anymore. That's what it's about. Yeah. I'm not becoming crotchety or crocheting-y. I'm not becoming kind of grumpier. I'm discovering myself. I'm simply telling you, well, if you don't want to do it, you must be grumpy. No, I just don't want to do it. And if I'm telling you to get off my ass, please back off and get off of it. Life can be so simple. I've said this before. I didn't get along greatly with my father. We were like two peas in two different pods. We loved each other. We spent some time together, but we butted heads a lot. I mean, not literally, otherwise I'd have a big mark on my forehead, but that's a phrase. We butted heads. We didn't agree on a lot of stuff. And yeah. And as I got older, I started dismissing him because I was getting older, and I said, well, that's causing me frustration, so let's not do that. So that relationship waned. My father's name was not Wayne, by the way. In any event, he said some stuff that now, as I get older, I realize this pretty heavy stuff from a guy that I didn't consider to have much of a brain. But he did, in his own world. And he said to me, Ron, don't sweat the small stuff, which is nice because I don't like to sweat at all, especially in the summer. Don't sweat the small stuff. And if you have a problem with something or a concern about something or something's bothering you, break it down to its simplest components and you'll find it's easier to deal with it then. Complicated things are frustrating. Simple things are easy. Father! Out of your mouth, golden advice. And I'm not saying that I lived that necessarily, but I do find that that is the case. Complicated is frustrating. Simple is easy and less frustrating. He also said, Ron, he called me Ron, said, Ron, there are many speed bumps in life. They're going to happen. They are there. There are many, many, many horrible things that you have to go through in a lifetime span. As many great things there might be even a couple of more horrible ones than there are great ones. There are speed bumps in life. They just are. But it's not the speed bumps. Here's the good news. It's not the speed bumps that make life livable or disgusting. It's how you get over them. And he used the analogy, what a brilliant man that I didn't like. He used the analogy that if you're driving your car and there's a speed bump in the road and you continue on the same speed as if there wasn't a speed bump there, and then you hit the speed bump, your car like jiggles and vibrates and you feel like you broke something in the chassis or something. Because you didn't slow down for the speed bump. You just continued on as you usually do. However, if you see a speed bump up ahead, or you start to feel the speed bump, you hit the brakes and you slow it down. You might even stop it for a moment and then hit the gas very, very lightly to get over that speed bump. But you will get over that speed bump, but not at the regular speed. Father, golden words. So he was wise in a sense, and that gives me comfort as well. So that's the way I've lived my life, because I remember those words. And I guess, and don't call me father, don't you dare. However, if that helps you out a little bit in your journey through life, then I'm happy that my father could help you. But to me, never a truer word has been spoken than what he imparted upon me. Now, he said a lot of things to me, which were total bullshit. But some things, I guess the law of averages, and the law of percentages, some things had to be really incredible amongst all the other stuff that wasn't. But yet, you see, that again is perception, you see. You see, Ron, you know, are you going to spend time on the negatives, or are you going to highlight the positives? I guess highlight the positives, right? Yeah, that's what you should do. Because as I've said on the show so many times, perception is 99% of the law. It's not what really is. It's how you perceive it. Just like this Trump thing with making up lies and then spreading them in a very convincing manner so that you start believing the lies. That's your perception. To you, that's the truth. But in reality, it's not the truth at all. So that's how you got to play it. Perception means a lot. Does. And as the world has gotten dumber, and I believe it has, I think we're going in the wrong direction as far as intelligence is concerned. We need to open our eyes and be aware. Stop squinting. Open them wide. Start getting your brain back in order. Okay. We have, Ron, this was a heavy show. I did not expect this to happen. Okay, I'm sorry. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, my guest will be joining us. I think you'll find the subject matter of our guest to be somewhat exciting, in a sense, maybe just a bit. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, It's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy is something like cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
Dave Lewis joins us. He's Global Security Advisory at Cisco. And, yeah, this is something we love to talk about. Cybersecurity, you know, we can have the conversation, and then a week later, it's like all something different again. That's the game, isn't it?
It really is, and thank you for having me on. Security is a constant iterative process because the attackers are always going to find new and exciting ways to give you heartburn. And unfortunately, as the end users, as corporations, we always have to be diligent because we are targets of opportunity because, unfortunately, mistakes do happen. And so we have to be constantly vigilant in protecting our information.
Yeah, I think those that want to scam us realize that there are two kinds of people in the world, those that question everything, it's hard to get through to them, and then there are those that don't question anything and just go with it, and those are our targets, and I guess that's kind of on us a little bit, isn't it?
It is, but I'm not one to throw the end user under the bus, and we have to make sure that we're not vilifying the end users because, we're born into this world defaulting to trust. You know, we're looking for food, we're looking for shelter, we're looking to, be part of a unit. But the funny thing is the attackers know this, and they prey on us because most people never move that far away from it. So we want to make sure that we're being, constantly providing information, constantly training people, and making them aware of what the security issues are, and hopefully this will hammer home over time. And while it may not be an innate ability with people, that eventually it can be a learned behavior.
I suppose so. And I guess the best way to guard against it is to understand what it is and realize what's coming at you.
Absolutely.
All right. So what are some of the newest games in town that we may not even be familiar with?
Well, a lot of what we're seeing, especially in the last quarter from our Talos Intelligence team, is that attackers are going after healthcare providers and healthcare companies in general and trying to gain access into their environments. In addition to that, we're seeing the constant iterations of ransomware that are being sent out, where this is malicious software that can encrypt files or encrypt your entire hard drive in some cases and hold that information for ransom until you pay it, and then hopefully you gain access to your information. The attacks just keep coming, and it's just every time you look at it, it's another day that ends in Y. And so we have to make sure that we are trying our best to avoid getting breached. And obviously, this is not a 100% game. We have to constantly be iterating because the attackers are going to constantly be looking for new and exciting ways to get in.
Yeah, and it's not just us as individuals. It's also the businesses that have to deal with this because their reputations are on the line sometimes. I mean, I get emails from large businesses like Costco, et cetera, and they're phishing deals. They're not from those businesses. They're from people posing to be them, and businesses must be quite frustrated with that.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is, phishing emails at one point were very easy to spot. But as they have iterated over time, the criminals have learned to up their game. I have seen phishing emails that, quite honestly, if I had not known that they were phishing emails, I could have quite possibly clicked on them myself. Because they do prey on people's abilities and their insecurities, and trying to gain access to an environment, they will target people that may not be technically savvy with an environment, and they might be somebody in finance or in human resources or something to that effect. They're very good at what they're good at, but they won't necessarily be technically savvy in with respect to security. So the attackers know this. They target those folks specifically trying to gain access into an environment. And when you're protecting an environment, it's different than the individual. Sure, the individual has their personal information on the line and, their own reputations and what have you. But for an enterprise, the stakes are far higher because this could impact the livelihoods of hundreds, if not thousands, of people. So obviously they have to have a much higher level of security. within their own respective organizations.
Yeah. Dave, between you and me, I mean, is it amazing how we're not attacked even further? I mean, all these databases that are all over the place, just hanging in there in the clouds. I mean, it's kind of amazing that we're secured as it is, I think.
Well, I have seen security improve over the years in many ways, but we have to keep in mind that the footprint that we saw, 10, if not 20 years ago, has expanded exponentially. So the targets of opportunity for an attacker are vastly larger than they were 10, 20 years ago. And there's much more chance for attackers to get in because not every organization has the security bench strength that they need in order to make sure that their environments are up to snuff. And as a result, they inadvertently end up becoming potential targets.
Yeah. Now, I know Cisco has a new cybersecurity readiness index. What is that?
This is a fantastic report that was commissioned by an independent third party, and it was a double-blind study where they talked to 6,700 cybersecurity practitioners around the world to get an idea as to their security posture of their organizations. Where do they see themselves standing from a security perspective? And it was amazing that of that number, only about 15% of them saw themselves as being in a mature state where they can weather an attack or a cyber incident of some description and be able to come out the other side in good condition. A lot of these organizations really saw themselves in the middle of the pack, and as security is a growth aspect for them, where they know that they have to do more and they are in the process of doing more, but that current juncture, they don't see themselves in a good position just yet.
Okay. I mean, what are some of the newer scams and things out there that we should be aware of?
Well, some of the newer scams that we're seeing is, the attackers, obviously the ransomware is a consistent one. What attackers have shifted to in the last quarter is they're going after more web-based applications and using what are called web shells, injecting malicious software into websites that will allow them to have remote access into a corporation. This is something that was prevalent quite a few years ago, and it is apparently now made quite an uptick in the last quarter, according to our Talos Intelligence team.
Yeah. You know what scares me the most, Dave, is credit cards online, because everybody's using them. No more cash, credit cards. And Google has all my information. All I have to do is just click on something, and it's got my expiration date, the number, the security, the whole bit. Makes me nervous that's vulnerable now. It's not in my wallet anymore. It's everywhere at a click. I mean, is that something we should be concerned about, or have the security measures really tightened up for that kind of thing?
Well, the security measures have tightened up. Unfortunately, mistakes happen, accidents happen, breaches happen. Yeah. So you want to make sure that if you're using a credit card online, it's a credit card that has limited ability to do a certain amount of transactions. You don't want to have it with an unlimited cap on it.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you're looking at your credit card statements. You're looking at your banking statements. Look for any sort of anomalous behavior because, the attackers, if they gain access to your system, they will try something simple as a $1 transaction just to make sure the credit card works. Yep. These sort of things are a bit of a red flag for me because, unfortunately, my own credit card has been compromised at least 3 times in the last 12 months.
Wow.
And it was simply because of websites that had been compromised, not through any particular failing on my part. In this particular case, I was using a card that had limited ability.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the credit card company was extremely diligent, and they caught it before I even saw it.
Yeah. That's amazingly scary, what you just said, but that's absolutely true. I mean, a lot of young people just use that card all over, and they don't even look at their statements at all, online or otherwise. Yeah. They just don't. They just trust too much until something happens. And that's a very good tip that you said. Just you gotta review these things on a monthly basis to catch them. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much like if you get your house broken into. Nobody puts a house alarm on there until they have some sort of compromise.
Correct.
And they have that visceral reaction.
Yeah.
And the same sort of thing with security. People usually don't take it seriously right away because, you know, when we're born in this world, we default to trust.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we're teaching people the better way to do things. Mm. We don't want to vilify them. We don't want to make them feel bad about their security choices.
Okay.
But we do want to educate them to make sure that we can get them to a much better place because, you know, we want to raise all boats.
Okay. He's Dave Lewis. Dave, where do we go for more information on this?
Well, I'm glad you asked. If you check out cisco.com/go/readiness, it's a great report there. All sorts of information and links where we can be able to help you out. And if you have any questions, you know, Cisco's more than happy to be your trusted partner.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your time today. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful. How do you do that? Oh, man, huh? Give somebody a hug today. Maybe even just your dog, but hug something. It feels good. But only if the hug doesn't last too long. Then it becomes awkward and a little weird. You know what I'm saying? I'll be with you again on the next time a weekday rolls around, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.